Hey guys, it's GPD and it's Wednesday night, and we're going to tell you about our day at E3, day two on the show floor. And it was a very busy day. Of course, I'm here with
Forbon.
Wow. See, things are heating up as the show goes on. Now you do your crazy voice.
Okay, I'm Shipwreck.
So we had a lot of appointments.
We need more
today.
Energy, though. But Thorbon is bringing the energy there.
Right, it's 11:20, 2 p.m., and we sat in a lot of dark rooms and watched video games.
In specific time.
Yes, in specific L.A. time. And, we'll tell you what we did today. So we had a 10 o'clock appointment at Sony, and we were very worried about getting into the show floor because it was so crowded the day before and thought we would be late. So we lined up at 9:15, right? About 9:15?
Yeah, around 9:15.
And they let people in 15 minutes early, so we wound up not having a problem getting in, except for the waiting for half an hour, but that wasn't really that big of a deal.
No. So we got there, and our first appointment was for Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, and that looks really good. It looks like a full Uncharted game. The dialogue was good, the environments look fantastic.
Graphics, just in general, look great. I guess it supports PS4 Pro.
It looks great. It seems like it's going to be a full game for $40.
Full-length game, like 8 hours, 16 hours?
That's what they were indicating. I don't think it'll be as long as what an Uncharted game is, because those are pretty long.
Okay.
It seems like it's going to be a pretty long game, and it seems like $40 is a pretty good deal for that game, for that level of quality.
Yeah, definitely.
Then we both played some GT Sport, and that is a lot different than Forza. It handles a lot different.
I've really moved on from Gran Turismo. Like, you can only really play Forza now. Forza, either Horizon, mostly Horizon even. I don't even care for the regular Forza.
It feels more... Is it more technical? Like it, I only played one race and I didn't get all my assists the way that I generally use them in Forza because it was like auto braking for me like crazy. And
I don't know if it's more technical, but it seems a little touchy.
Touchier than
the Forza. Stick just feels touchy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I'm used to
it
rewind.
Looks great, though.
It looks great, but I'm used to rewind and I'm used to the racing line. So.
I played a game called Matterfall. That's the new Housemarque game. That is a fantastic game. It's a 2D platformer shooter type thing where it almost... Remember the game Outland? Mm-hmm. Where you were like changing between the different colors and everything? You played it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you played it after I did. It's got like a combo system, and it once you get used to the weird controls, because it's... It uses a lot of the shoulder buttons for jumping and like
attacking
and like stunning enemies and everything. Once you get used to those, it feels really nice, and you just feel like you're doing it right all of a sudden, like it clicks. What did you think of it?
I found it pretty hard just because of the jump button is on R1 and the attack button is on L1, and it's not natural for me, but it seemed like I really liked the look of the game, and it was like very fluid. I don't know, looked good.
No, I'm really looking forward to that one. And you played some Everybody's Golf.
Played Everybody's Golf, which is Hot Shots Golf.
Did you play as the president of Sony?
I absolutely did, and I hit some good shots. I gotta say, it seemed like it could be fun.
They always are.
Yeah.
That's good that they're coming out with one of those.
Yeah, I guess it looks like there's online play.
It's budget. It's $40 too.
Yeah.
So you can get it for $32.
It seems like there's online play or something going on in the background, like where everybody can play sort of simultaneously. They're not, taking turns really. But I'm not sure really. I just saw look like ghost characters playing in the background. But yeah, Hot Shots. It's Hot Shots.
It's Everybody's Golf.
Right. I know, but it's Hot Shots.
And then we went, we later in the day at Sony, we saw Days Gone,
yeah.
Which was pretty much it was the same exact level as what they had shown during their Sony press conference.
Same mission, even.
Yeah, same mission. But it was a different time of day, different weather, and it played out a lot differently. Like, there was hardly any zombies whatsoever.
What was your weather? Was it snow?
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure there was, like, a very contained... It still was, like, a very contained demo. But they showed you that you don't have... You could. There's different ways of finishing the mission, and...
Yeah.
There's, like, dynamic systems.
It was a lot less... It was more stealthy, a lot less action-y. So, yeah.
The game looks fun. Looks like it's going to be, like, pretty adventure RPG-ish. Like, there's skill trees, there's weapons breaking.
It's the people who made Uncharted Golden Abyss.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then before that, they made Siphon Filter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, that would...
Siphon Filter?
Yeah.
Like, old school, like, PS2 Siphon Filter? Wow, okay. Oh, the game looks good. I think it's going to be really good when it comes out, whenever it comes out. That was it for Sony, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thor, what did you take a look at this morning?
I went and saw Extinction. The reason I wanted...
Oh, we saw that.
Yeah.
Extinction?
Yeah.
At Maximilian Games?
Yeah. Maximum Games.
Maximum Games.
Yep.
All right. I saw that. It looked very, very early build. Is what I thought.
This is the giant ogre game. Right?
Yeah.
It was pre-alpha. Yeah.
Very, very early. It reminded me of like Darksiders, and then has giant ogres, and you beat the shit out of giant ogres.
You have to cut off their limbs. It's very strange. They're huge ogres, like skyscrapers, basically. And you have to cut the guy's legs off, and then his arms off, and then his head off. Or I think you don't have to do it in that order, actually.
You just have to cut his head off. Is the right. Thing. That's like how you kill him.
Right.
And so you wear him down. You have to wear him down to get to that.
You said you get extra energy for cutting off the limbs to get a goal towards the head, but
you don't need it.
It glitched out like when he was showing it, and like the ogre was supposed to try to get down the building, and he's like, "Well, that's not happening. So I'm just going to go up its back right now and cut off its head." And it's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah. The way the character moves is very fluid, though. Like, he, like, uses a whip and can, like, double jump and dash through the air. It made me wonder why, like, that early build of that game, the character locomotion, everything is so much better than, like, Crackdown 3.
Because it's Iron Galaxy, and Iron Galaxy does Killer Instinct, Dive Kick. What was the other game? They work on a lot of fighting games.
So. Yeah, it looked good. It looked like it could be good.
Yeah.
It's very early. What else did you see?
So I went and checked out Astro Gaming, the headsets. Okay. And it was interesting. They told their history of how they were industrial designers and they designed the Xbox 360 and all these things, but no one really had a space for made really good headsets. And then they made headsets for the top, like, 2% elite players. They made, like, super expensive headsets. And they did data research, and they were like, wow, like 60-80% of our fans don't even own our headsets, kind of like how people like Apple, but then they don't buy the stuff. So they're trying to make more budget headphones. So he showed me a pair, and they were nice and comfortable, and he showed me how you could twist the shit out of it, and it still works, and you can throw it on the ground, and it still works. And
so they're trying to make cheaper headsets, basically.
Cheaper headsets that are very durable. Because
their stuff is normally like $300,
$250. Yeah, yeah. Right?
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's a big part of that market, I think.
Yeah, big part. And he was talking about the competitors, and I was like, yeah, whenever I post Turtle Beach headset deals, there's usually like two or three people that are like, mine broke after 5 months.
Well, it's, you know, made in China, I'm sure. Yeah. Maybe all this stuff is like... Sometimes they're not going
to
work.
And they say we work very hard to make it durable and last and everything. And then he gave me a headset, and I gave him my info, and that was that.
Nice.
And then I met up with Rocco and Frank and Kevin, and we looked around the showroom floor, and they had an appointment with Namco.
The Mega 64.
Yes. Yeah. And we went to Namco because they got a hookup, and we played Dragon Ball, and that's really fucking good.
Right.
That's really a good fucking fighting game. And then we like they want to check out the Digital Devolver, and that was interesting because, like, I didn't have an appointment, and they didn't have an appointment or anything, and we figured, like, you know, before, like, you just show your badge and they let you in, but
they're... Are you talking about they're, like, they're outside?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, barbecue party?
Yeah, and there was a security guard, he's like, media only. I'm like, well, I got a media badge. He's like, you have to check in, and, like, I was like, so I thought maybe I could just walk by him. He's like, you gotta check in. I was like, hey, I'm media, can we just, like, look around? And he's like, yeah, that's fine, I don't care. And
just let you in?
You know? Yeah, he's like, oh, you're a cheap-ass gamer, all right, sure. And then,
what, that seemed legit, the guy? The guy's like,
cheap-ass. Well, he knew who I was.
Oh, not the security guard.
No, no.
The front desk lady, person.
The dude, yeah.
Cool.
And we walked around, and it was really crowded, and then we left.
We're going tomorrow, right, to that, or no?
Yeah, we have an appointment tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then they went and got Durgers, and... Oh, I also waited in the PlayStation line to get Trico Plush, and that took about 20 minutes. Nice. And that thing is awesome.
You like it? You're satisfied with that?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
It's the shit,
it man. Is? Okay.
Yeah. Don't fuck with Trico.
Trico kind of sucks, though.
Fuck you. All right.
No, I appreciate the character design, but... He didn't work very well.
In the game.
Oh,
in the
game. He worked awesome. I don't know what your problem was.
He didn't do anything that I told him to
you
do.
And
then you wait for him to, like, finally do what you want him to do.
He worked for you.
Have you ever had a dog?
No, dogs
there
suck.
You go. That's why.
It's supposed to be like a dog.
But I'm not playing a video game to it not work correctly.
You didn't know how to control Trico.
I beat the game.
I beat it too.
It doesn't work great.
Maybe Thormon is more tolerant and patient than you are.
I think it's that because I don't have kids and I have a lot of time, I think, maybe to figure out stuff.
Maybe.
Well, there wasn't anything to figure out. It was just this thing is not doing what I'm telling it to do.
He did it every time I wanted him to do something.
I'm glad you had that experience.
Maybe you were standing in the right spot.
Right. I'm glad you had that experience. You were blocking him. It was much different than my experience.
Okay.
We saw some other games.
Mm-hmm.
You played some Escapist 2.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was like in a chair that was really low on the ground and couldn't really see what was going on there.
Right. I mean, it's a lot like the first one, except now it seems to take place in the desert, at least the level that I saw, mm-hmm. in a desert prison. Did you play that one? Did you
what?
Escapist 2?
No.
It was next to the pinball platformer game that you played.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they've expanded on the first one. The first one was very successful. They sold, I think you said, 3 million copies. They actually want to make it more for kids in that, like, the kids, like, they just play the game not trying to break out of the jail. Like, you're supposed to break out of the jail. That's the point. But some kids like to just go out and have a prison life. And not even worry about
sure.
Just walk around and talk to people and, oh, it's breakfast time. Oh, it's exercise time. Oh, it's...
Right.
And they don't really care about playing the game, so they've expanded it in that way to make that more fun, I guess, and more things to do. I don't know. It seemed like they're going to probably sell a couple more million copies of that, I would guess.
Yeah, and well, you played that at Team 17, and then I played Yoku's Island Express, which is the pinball... platforming game that you're talking about, where you play as a dung beetle who's pushing.
Is that
around.
What you were?
Yeah, you were a dung beetle and you were pushing around the ball, which was the pinball, and the whole level. It just keeps expanding basically. So you play pinball, you have different objectives, and it's all interconnected. It's pretty cool.
You liked it too, or no?
Yeah, I liked it. I like pinball effects too and shit. So I was like, oh, this is a Miley.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Chip is a pinball guy too,
mm-hmm.
but yeah.
Then we checked out Strange Brigade at Rebellion.
Yeah.
This was off my radar. I did not know this game. This is a we were playing 2-player co-op. I don't know if there was more than that.
4, I think.
There's up to 4. Okay. They just had it set up for 2, with us at least. It's a wave based shooter type thing where you are fighting against mummies and pharaohs and that type of thing. You're kind of like 1940s explorers.
Yeah.
It's got that whole kind of vibe to it.
He's
very
an
cheeky.
Announcer.
Yeah, very cheeky.
He would probably say cheeky.
Right.
During the commentary.
Right. There's shotguns that light things on fire. There's these traps in the environment that are big blades that spin around that you can get to
chop up the mummies.
Right.
It's like a zombie game, but they instead of zombies, it's mummies.
Yeah, it's wave-based, but you're stuff. Always like moving forward, too. Like, it's level-based, it looks like, from where you're playing.
People seem to be having fun who are demoing it.
Yeah, it was a fun game, I thought.
What's that called again?
Strange Brigade.
Strange Brigade.
Okay. Yeah. After that, we checked out Laser League, the new game from the guys that made Ali Ali, Roll 7.
Oh, okay.
It's a sports game, kind of. It's one of these two-on-two
sports-ish
games where you are running over nodes on a map, and it's top-down.
Those run are over the nodes. Lasers, I think.
Well, you run over nodes, and then they activate lasers in your color.
Right. And then they just spin or move around the board, and if they hit the other team members, then
you have to knock out both of the other team members to win a point.
Right.
It seems like a decent game. We got a kind of crummy demo for that.
We had to play against people who had already been playing for like 20 minutes.
Right.
And we didn't know how to play, and they really didn't tell us how to play.
Yeah.
And then we lost every.
We lost game, a lot.
The other team was very happy that they were beating us, and Shipwreck was very mad that we got a crappy demo.
Yeah,
and a crappy partner to play with.
No, it wasn't that. I thought we were playing. We were playing perfectly fine within what was told of us, like at any particular moment. Like the first thing they told us was like they fired up the game. They're telling the other team like strategies and everything, and then they tell us, "Okay, well, what are we doing?" And they're just like, "Just move around with the left thumbstick," and I'm like, "Okay," and then like we're moving around. We're like, "Okay, we kind of get this laser thing." All of a sudden, the other team just, like, kills me with a sword.
Right.
I'm like...
You don't need to know anything but move with the left stick, and that was really all he said.
Yeah, that was all he, that's pretty much all he said.
And later you might want to use the trigger.
Right.
Pull the trigger later. But not too soon.
Right. Not until you've gotten completely destroyed. And it was like that repeatedly, because there's, like, power-ups to get in the game.
Yeah, we didn't know
what was going on with the power-ups.
It could be fun. I liked, like the look of the... Sort of after the match is over, and you see what the characters really are supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I like that look of the game better than the actual look of the game while you're playing it.
It's supposed to be like a pick up and play game, but that's going to be difficult. I think it's more going to be for people who get into it because there's too much going on for it to be pick up and play. Somebody who's played it before,
doesn't have a chance.
Yeah, they don't have a chance. Yeah. But
even if you told them everything that was going on, it's no chance.
Right. Then we play Drop Mix, Hasbro and Harmonix's new venture.
Right. It's a card game that you put on a special board that they give you, and then that connects into an iPad or something, right?
Yeah.
And each card is a part of the song somehow, so like of all different genres. So you'll have the vocal track, you'll have the drums, the bass, the guitar... And you're basically...
These are actual songs.
Actual real songs, licensed songs. And you're playing the cards and getting points by doing it. I don't want to go in and explain the rules
because
it would be boring.
Yeah.
But I liked it a lot. And if someone who likes like remixes and stuff like me, like Thorbon's rolling his eyes back in his head.
I'm just thinking like, I wonder if Harmonix should maybe like end up like MTV or like History Channel where just like... sort of go away from music stuff and like start making
something
other things.
Well, they're doing it with Hasbro also. Right. It doesn't, but I don't know. That doesn't really.
Right.
I mean, it was fun. I think it was a lot of fun, but it's going to be expensive. It's $100 to. It's $100 for the starter pack.
And it's an iPad game.
The app is free, but you're basically paying for the board that connects to the thing and like 60 cards. And then on top of that, they're going to be selling additional cards. So you can buy like the $15 genre packs or like the small like sort of blind bag packs. It's a big investment for a card game, I feel. Like if you look at other popular party games, card games out there, it's a lot cheaper.
I would think even knocking $20 off of it makes it a lot more palatable. If it was $80, it's like... It's on the high end of what it is, but... You could understand it,
right?
Just because collectible card games are always
And it's like licensed music. That's what you're paying for, probably.
You understand how they get into the position where these things are so expensive.
Right.
And they always make fun stuff.
It's fun. It would be really fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Maybe somebody will
buy it for me as a present or something.
As well. And I think the expansion, the sets.
So you're going to pay $100?
I didn't say I was going to pay $100.
Oh, okay.
Why would I pay $100?
You're going to email the PR person and be like, hey, I like the...
No. No, I mean, they offered us a review copy, but no, I'll wait until it gets to a price point that I want to pay for it.
It seems like it would be, as much as, even though I thought it was really fun, it seems like it's going to be really hard for it to be successful at that price, and eventually it's going to be cheaper one way or another, whether it's clearanced out or something, but it just like it's to ask someone to pay $100 for what's essentially a board game or a card game.
I remember Skylanders tried to get in the cards and it tanked.
Yeah, and I'm sure it was way cheaper. It seems like, but I don't know. It was fun. I really am looking forward to it coming out in September.
I mean, even Amiibo cards didn't really take off.
Well, this isn't a video game, really. This is a board game.
Yeah.
The
iPad part of it plays the music. So when you put the cards down, it knows what part you're playing, and then it moves the game along, like keeps the score and.
Yeah, there's different modes, and it'll like flash.
But it's essentially a card game. It's essentially a card game.
I think I'm just going to have to see a video of it.
You should. It's interesting, but it's a high price. What else? Do you see anything else, Thormon?
Moonlighter. It's a roguelike. It reminds me of Zelda and Animal Crossing combined. Okay. What you do is you're a merchant, and you go into the dungeons. And you collect things to sell in your shop, and you go back to your village in your shop, you make money, use the money to upgrade your town, the town gets upgraded, you meet witches and stuff, and you go to bed, and you get rest, and your cycle of days go on and on and on.
Kinda like, you fight somebody, or no?
Yeah, you fight in the dungeons.
Okay.
And get your shit. And the animation is really, really good. It's like on the level of like Hyper Light Drifter. It's that. Oh, okay. It's that good.
Cool. What? Moon Knight? Moonlighter. Moonlighter.
Yeah.
Okay. What else did we see?
We saw... The last thing we saw on at the show was Crytek's Hunt Showdown.
Right.
I know you liked this a lot. This surprised me by how good it looked.
Right. It's a simple... It's five teams of two hunting monsters, and so the idea is to... find the monster. You get clues to where the location is, and then you kill it, and then you have to banish it. And once you banish it, it tells everybody else on the map where you are, in the game rather, where
right.
you are.
And you can either, like, part of it is you can choose to fight the other people as well.
Right. You can avoid them, or just go after the monsters, try to take out the other team. It's like a permadeath when you die, so your character, once your character dies and doesn't get revived, you lose him, and you lose a lot of your stuff that you have forever. But the look of the game is really what's sort of unique. It takes place in a swamp in Louisiana in the 1800s, so you have sort of like old-style handguns and rifles and things.
1800s? 1900s, right? Somewhere.
19th century, he said.
Well, there's some fantastical weapons in there, then, if that's
right.
True.
It could be, yeah.
There's
giant spiders, also.
Yeah, I mean, it's a first-person shooter. It's really tense, at least the way they showed it. And
it was a good demo.
It was a really good demo. And you get to the final monster, and this one was this giant, like, tarantula spider. And the way it moved, like, it would move, like, really fast. And just like creepy crawling around, it was tense to watch them like try to figure out, like, even after they found it was like crawling around this barn, and like it would go like out a window or around a wall,
right.
And you're like, oh,
it's gone,
I don't want to be here right now.
Yeah, and it made a screeching noise that was really scary.
Yeah, that game looks.
It was called awesome. The Hunt, I think, Hunt.
I don't know.
I think it's The Hunt.
The Hunt.
Maybe. It's coming out for PC only first, and maybe eventually consoles, I think.
It seems like the type of game that'll come out in waves. Like, I think they said right now
they have to balance it.
Yeah, they have to balance it. They only have one map. It's a pretty large map, and it, like, all of the items are kind of, like, randomized around the map. But, yeah, it seems like the kind of thing that's going to, like, early access type.
Yeah. Yeah, look good. You see anything else, Thormon?
I went and saw Days Gone, but we kind of already talked about that. So. Right.
And it was pretty much the same as the trailer. Also, we went to the Indie Mix party.
Yeah, Indie Mix.
And we saw a few different games.
I played Ooblets.
Yay.
Ooblets seems like it's going to be really good.
You broke Ooblets.
Well, sure. At these things, games freeze. And I mean, they're early builds, so things happen. But I did not realize that was going to be a turn-based fighting game as well. All of the little ooblets that you raise, then you can go out and fight against other people's ooblets or wild ooblets. It's fantastic. I really like it.
Oh, good. Good. We also played Nidhogg 2, which...
It was a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. The art style is so different that...
I didn't recognize it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Like, you told me what it was. I'm like, that's Nidhogg 2? Like, does it look anything like the first game?
Right. People seem to not like the new look, but I think it was fine.
It's a very interesting look because it looks like an ugly 16-bit game. It's not a pretty game.
The first one looked like Intellivision, right?
Yes, yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah.
So the next one will look like Mario 64 graphics. I don't know.
But this one, the first one was kind of confined in one.
No, it was the same, just like that. The
same thing?
Yeah, maybe a little shorter. I feel like but still the same. Okay. Where you're basically running to the left or right of the screen to get to the end, and you have to kill the other player along the way.
Yeah.
It's fun. There's a lot. You wind up laughing a lot when you play that game.
Yeah, yeah, because you die in stupid ways a lot.
Right, right.
But yeah, I thought that was pretty fun.
We also played a game called Hockey. Which some CADcast fans had...
Hockey with a question.
Yeah, I said hockey. You're supposed to interpret that as the... I don't know if you can even buy this game. I'm not totally clear on that. But the guys who made it are CADcast fans, and they pulled us over to check it out.
The guy was like, are you on that to me? I was like, no.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah. And he's like, where's Shipwreck? And then I pointed right at Shipwreck.
He saw you walking with a tall, bald guy. And he's like, oh, could be Chibi. Could be Wombat. It's a first-person hockey game that you play with a mouse and keyboard, and it's all, like, physics. What do you call that genre of game where it's, you know what I mean?
Flop?
Yeah, flop? I mean, it's not, but it feels like that because you're manually stick handling with a mouse. You're manually doing everything, and so it's, like really hard to play. But apparently there's a bunch of Russian people in Russia who are really into it and have leagues set up where it's 5-on-5 first-person hockey, and you play online with other people. And the graphics are really simplistic. Like, the stick is coming out of, like, the guy's arm, basically. But it requires so much skill to even just move the puck along the ice. I couldn't do it at all. And then they showed us live matches that were going on, and it's... These guys are, like, good. Like, they're really, like, it looks like...
It was entertaining to watch.
It was really weird. It looked like if when you watch it...
Kind of like that co-op game?
It feels like that because it requires that type of skill, like a physics, like a really, like, an understanding of how the game controls. And it's, like, there's... The skill level required is pretty high. But it looks like when you go to an NHL game and then in between periods they show the kids playing, like the little kids, that's what it looks like when you watch... people who are really good at this game playing, because like there's flashes of like, oh my god, how did they make that pass? Because it's so hard to even just skate and move the puck. But hockey with a question mark. What else?
Battleship Brigade you played, and you played King's Way.
Battleship, what was that one?
Battleship Brigade. The Adult Swim games.
Oh, that was the chef game. Battle Chef.
Oh, Battle Chef. Yeah, Shippy played that.
Yep.
It's like a match three or something?
It's a bunch of things going on. It's a game where you are cooking and you add in ingredients, but then they get added in as match three tiles, and then you have to rearrange those to do the actual cooking, and you have to go fight in your garden to get new ingredients.
And it looks like an anime.
And it looks like an anime, and there's a lot of dialogue, and either your mother or grandmother's trying to set you up, like with men in the neighborhood, and so you're cooking for them. There's a lot going on with this game.
Right, right.
It seems cool.
We also played Knights and Bicycles. Is that what it's called? Isn't that what it was called?
It's something like that. Bikes and Knights?
No, I think Sword? It's Bikes and Knights.
Okay.
Or Knights and Bikes. It could be something, one of those. Something. Yeah, bikes, probably not bicycles. Beat the demo. Beat the demo.
It reminded me of Costume Quest.
The art style.
Yeah, the art style and just like the general movement. We were riding bikes at first, and then we got off the bikes, and then we beat up some stuff. Yeah. There wasn't anybody there to explain really what we were, right. What the overall like vision of the game was or anything.
Right. We also played Knight's Way. Is that what that was called?
Yeah.
King's Way.
King's Way. Yeah. Got the way right. It basically looks like Windows 3.1. So what is it? Yeah. 3.1. Yeah. And so everything's like little windows that you open up, but it's a RPG, like a fantasy RPG, like Dungeons and Dragons style. Very simplistic. You know, it gives you choices what you want to do and... But everything's like in Windows 3.1. It's pretty, no gorilla graphics really. We played Guts, which is like Time Killers, where you're cutting off, it's a fighting game where you're cutting off the other player's limbs.
Okay.
And that's how you win the game, is by cutting. And then so there's like the dude has like no arms and no legs and still is attacking you. It's pretty weird. But it's, the guy said Time Killers was a influence for it, so. Is there anything else?
It's a lot of games.
It's a lot of games that we looked at today.
We saw more than that, but that's enough.
That's enough. Yeah, can't talk anymore about games. Must sleep and then see a lot more games tomorrow. Tomorrow we have a lot of big appointments, like from the major publishers. So should be a good time. We'll talk to you then. Bye.